We're going to Brazil with Juliano Fiore out there in Rio. Let me see. Where, are you there? Are you there, Juliano?
Yeah. Hi, Crispin.
Oh, thank you for coming back again. I just wanted to find out what's going on in this election, because there's a couple of weeks to go till the runoff ballot between Lula and Bolsonaro. And now, in the past week, they've had a debate, haven't they? A TV debate. But there's also this story about Bolsonaro sort of talking to camera about effectively being kind of like a paedophile, but I mean, just bizarre. Could you tell people what this is all about?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks a lot for having me back on, Crispin. As I said last time I was on, the first round results produced something of disillusionment amongst those on the left and those supporting Lula generally, because the difference between Lula and Bolsonaro was less than had been predicted in the polls and less than many people were hoping. There was still 6 million votes difference, sort of five percentage points difference. And so what Lula needed, or what he needs, in comparison to what Bolsonaro needs to get across the line, is one vote for every four of Bolsonaro. The troubling thing is that the difference seems to have closed in the last 2 weeks. And there's different explanations as to why that might be. There was a debate this week. It doesn't seem to have been a significant factor in changing opinions. In fact, the closing of the difference between the two candidates doesn't necessarily represent a swing in any way. It could just be a consolidation of the anti-Workers' Party vote that is already quite strong. But what is striking is that the rejection of Bolsonaro has come down from about 50% to around 46, 47%, depending on the polls. And this precisely in the moment when more scandals are coming out about Bolsonaro, when he's exposing himself as the obnoxious character that he is. Now, in recent weeks, there's been quite a lot of attention given by the Lula campaign on a number of different scandals, from his discussion a few years ago of being willing to eat the flesh of indigenous people, association of him with Satanism, and most recently, a comment that he made on a podcast in which he was discussing driving past a building, seeing some young Venezuelan refugee girls, saying that they were 14 or 15 years old, that they were very pretty, and that there was chemistry. And obviously this is horrendous and it's shocking. And he suggested then that he decided to go into the building and that he saw that what this building was essentially a brothel. This is obviously totally shocking. It's one more dimension of his obnoxious character that's revealed. And it's not, in fact, the first time that he's spoken about young girls or contributed to the sort of sexualization that is so common in Brazilian society of young girls. And yet, as I said, his rejection's gone down after this, not up. Now, I wouldn't want to suggest that this is because Brazilian society is okay with such comments. At the same time, I think there is a need to recognize the role that moral condemnation plays in an election like this one. When, despite being in government, Bolsonaro still somehow represents the insurgent force in Brazilian politics. That is, many of the people who continue to vote for Bolsonaro still vote for him because they see him as the anti-establishment candidate. And in this context in which there is something of a culture war that's been going on, and there's polarization along the lines of culture and values and mores, radicalization from the party or the group that is most associated with the establishment, in this case, Lula and his forces, which are pro-democracy forces and explicitly so, can contribute to, in fact, turning people off. It's the sort of negative campaign that, in fact, didn't work in 2018. And this is reflective of the predicament that I mentioned last time, Crispin, which is that on the one hand, Lula and his campaign absolutely have to stand up for a minimum sort of order that can protect life in opposition to Bolsonaro's politics of spoliation, which is all about accelerating the destruction of existing institutions in order to expand a Brazilian capitalism in the direction of criminality. And on the other hand, in doing so, it reinforces the notion that it is a force of the establishment itself, morally, culturally, and even politically. So these next 2 weeks are really crucial, and the next 2 weeks of campaigning. At the moment, Lula's campaign has really been focused on trying to reach out to, in particular, evangelical voters. Now, for those who don't know, Brazil has a burgeoning evangelical community, many evangelical denominations which are growing extremely rapidly, and in fact there are projections that within a few years evangelicals could represent a majority of Brazilians. And it's the segment of the population that is most vehemently pro-Bolsonaro. And so there's been a clear intent on the part of the Lula campaign to reach out to evangelicals, to dispel some of the myths that have been promoted by the Bolsonaro campaign, that Lula is going to close churches, that he's going to destroy traditional values, etc. And Lula trying to reach out in a way that appeals to some of the more dominant social values within the evangelical community, without necessarily conceding on positions that are important to progressives.
Right. So, how do you feel? Do you feel that that's a good tactic?
It's difficult. On the one hand, I think that it's necessary to gesture at least to the evangelical community in general. But the problem here is evangelicalism is quite different to Catholicism, which in the sense that it's more fragmented as a religious community. It's made up of denominations. It's decentralized, and so when you are appealing to a body that is itself quite fragmented, you're more likely to be susceptible to the manipulation of different authorities within that community who already themselves aligned for different reasons, in this case with Bolsonaro. On the other hand, there's a large portion of the expanding pro-Bolsonaro vote in the interior of Brazil, in the areas which I referred to last time as the areas of expansion of Brazilian capitalism, the frontiers of accumulation, in particular, the frontiers of agribusiness. And there's a vote that is very important there that has been pro-Bolsonaro since 2018 and continues to be. And there's a sense in which in some of the regions, there is some ground that Lula can still make in these regions. And I suppose there's a question to be had as to whether a sort of more positive campaign reaching out to undecided voters in some of these areas is going to be more effective than a negative campaign, which tries to expose yet another scandal of Bolsonaro when he's already up to his neck in corruption.
Right. Charges. So, can I just sort of, it's a bit like Trump, you know, or Boris Johnson in a sense, were known as rascals. And if you just say they're a rascal again, everyone says, yeah, we know they are. So it's almost, it doesn't really change people's idea, does it? He might need a more positive campaign in the next 2 weeks.
Yeah, and understanding that different sorts of positive campaigning will work in different regions. There's a really great article that was published recently since the first round by Matthew Richmond in Jacobin, explaining a little bit where Lula's votes have expanded and where Bolsonaro's votes have expanded, where their bases have expanded. And it shows that in the Northeast region, which has been a stronghold of the Workers' Party for sort of 20 years or so, there's quite a consolidated vote in favor of expanding the social state, expanding welfare, etc., workers' rights. In other parts, there needs to be a campaign which is engaging with other interests, be those sort of pro-democracy, more sort of politically focused concerns, or that be those also cultural concerns?
Well, you seem a bit more pessimistic than the last time, but can we do another interview before the election? Sure. Maybe the week before.
Sure, and I don't want to be pessimistic. I suppose I am slightly anxious because, as I said last time, the stakes for this election, not just for Brazil, for the world, are really high, and you can recognise that without even saying that Lula is a transformational candidate, which, as I said last time, I don't think he is, and I don't think he can be in the given the current conditions. He is still in the lead. So in terms of valid votes, as they call them here, he still does have 5 or 6 percentage points on Bolsonaro, and he needs to do less in electoral terms than Bolsonaro does to get over the line. So I'm just saying that that is a positive. And there's still a lot for our camp to do in the next 2 weeks. But yes, I'd be very happy to speak to you all again.
Great. Well, thank you for getting up early to come on. Cheers. Thanks, Juliana.
All right, cheers.